Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
Good afternoon.
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Looking forward to our talk today.
Me too. I've been waiting all day for this one. It's been a hectic week already. And it was a good message on Sunday.
Well, thank you. And as always, give the Lord the credit. Anything that good had happened.
Absolutely.
Let's pray, bro.
Indeed.
Father, thank you for this privilege to meet here with Kyle and to talk about your word and your truth and Lord, basic needs that we as men have, all people have, but our focus on men right now and just their need to that they have to fulfill if they're going to really find their role and their place and be the men that you want them to be. So Lord, bless us as we unpack this and use it for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Kyle, we have a question, as we try to do most weeks, and that is, what unexpected value does a responsible man bring to society? And I think folks will be shocked at the answer to that.
Well, you know, as we were discussing what our question of the day, as it were, would be, I got to thinking about that, and like, there's a lot of options in that, and as we talk about men with purpose, and I think it's safer to focus on men than women, even on this, that women need purpose too, but I think men truly need purpose. I think women find it more naturally sometimes, maybe.
Yes.
Especially mothers. Their purpose is defined for them very quickly, and I think men still struggle with it. Even as fathers, we still struggle with purpose more so. Maybe that's the way I should say it. It's not that anybody finds it, it's that men, I think, struggle with purpose more. And as we were discussing that question, I thought to myself, man, I feel like there's a lot of problems in the world right now that would be solved if more men had purpose to their lives, or maybe are caused because they don't have purpose in their life. And all kinds of things. We just had the shooting in Idaho with the guy, the kid, he's 20, 21 years old, set a fire so that he could shoot firefighters. That is a young man with no purpose in his life and probably no real responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because if he did, real simple, if he had responsibilities, he wouldn't have time to go think up something like that and go do something stupid like that.
Yeah. It really, truly a sad indictment of our culture.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been using the R's in our thing on men, respect, relationships, and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And this R is a big one. I have watched throughout my lifetime, even when, you know, I was a young man, a boy, well, we were taught in my culture to be responsible. Now, we had people that were irresponsible.
Right.
You're always going to have that. But today, it's epidemic. I mean, my responsibility started with feeding the dogs. Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't feed them, they went hungry. Or if they didn't have water in the hot Louisiana summertime,
that's right,
then they're in trouble. And then it graduated, you know, to when Dad was gone for a week helping his dad, then I had a cow to milk. and things that I had to do in his place. And I remember one story about when I was in high school. That day I sprained my ankle in basketball practice, and it was kind of a sleety rain. It wasn't sticking on the roads or anything, but it was cold. This is North Louisiana, and 40 degrees and raining and icy, and I got a sprained ankle. And the area where the cow, we were able to, because of Louisiana weather, we were able to graze winter wheat. Mm-hmm. And so it cut down a lot on the hay that we had to have and that kind of stuff. And this cow was out in this pasture that was, two or three acres fenced in just for that purpose. And because it was soft with rain and everything, there are all kinds of holes in the ground. And I got to go out there, and this cow does not want to come in and be milked. But you know what? There wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
I had to suck it up and do it.
You've got a responsibility.
I had a responsibility because Dad wasn't home.
Yep.
And you learn a lot at that, and you after you've done it, you say, okay, today I took a step toward being a man because I did something hard because I had to.
Yeah.
And today, that just doesn't happen as frequently. Of course, growing up on a farm, those kind of things happen a lot.
Right. Yep.
But we've lost so much of that. And today, we've got the epidemic of stuff that we've already talked about. I mean, first thing I thought about when you mentioned the shooter that's 21 years old is, I wonder how much practice he had with that in video games before he did it, you know? And that's not a catch-all, yet it is a factor. And so, So anyway, but back to the positive, it's a huge need because you replace the word responsibility with purpose. And it's interesting because I had a conversation with another man, and I said, he was talking to me about the sermon, and I said, well, what stood out to you? And he said, purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my wife about it. Oh, she said purpose. That was the overriding message that they got, was just the importance of purpose. And that's kind of a synonym there in our context today of responsibility.
Well, and I think they're kind of synonymous, because why or how would you have responsibility if you had no purpose for it?
Right.
Your purpose on earth, the thing you're supposed to do, is the reason that you have to be responsible.
Yeah. You have something that you've identified that you're...
Maybe you're responsible for fulfilling your purpose.
Well, yes. And, even before the sin of mankind, before man fell, Adam was given a job. And that job, that responsibility, was to care for and tend the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a direct command from God. This is your job, Adam. God did that out of love, because he knew Adam didn't need to sit around the shade and eat bonbons all the time, He needed a reason to get up in the morning.
Yep.
And accomplish something. And so God gave him that chore, that responsibility. And, you see people that are responsible and take responsibility, they're happier, they're healthier, they're more productive.
They stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
We joke about that all the time, right? Oh, I'm so busy. Well, it's keeping you out of trouble. It really does.
It does. It makes you focus.
Yeah.
On things that are more important. And of course, you touched on it, but this is ultimately the bigger deal, is we take responsibility for things, or we assume responsibility for things that aren't necessarily pleasing to God.
Mm.
And of course, our enemy wants to distract us with responsibilities that will keep us from God's purpose in our lives. And so, finding the Lord's purpose. I mean, just think about this. If Noah said, my purpose in life is that I'm to have a 401k that is worth $1 million when I retire. And God says, no, I want you to build an ark. He said, no, God, I'm too busy with my 401k. You go find somebody else.
There's no health care plan attached to that.
Yeah. How does that change the course of history? and the history of Noah's life.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says, you know, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And part of that grace was the love of God, the relationship with God. That's where it started. But it was also God giving him one of the greatest tasks in the history of the world. He saved the human race by what he did.
I feel like there's maybe multiple levels of purpose, or at least we try for there to be. And maybe the reason men struggle with finding purpose in life is because we want one thing when we are responsible for another. And so we try to find purpose in things that don't matter.
That's right.
We try to find purpose in our job, mm-hmm. or our hobby.
Yeah, that's a huge one. You know, I mean, if a guy is an athlete and he likes to play softball,
yep.
just pull that out of the air. And I know men that commit their summers to softball.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do they do? What's my batting average? He's not asking what's going on at the dinner table at the house every night.
Yeah.
He's not in touch with what his children are doing, because he's focused on that next tournament, that next weekend. And, I mean, and y'all come and go with me if you want to, but yeah. I'm going to go play ball. And I hit on that one because I wasn't that way, but yet, you know, early on in my marriage, I was playing softball on Thursday night, and I made some really dumb decision in choosing that over some things that were very important to my family. And I regret it. I'll regret it till the day I die. Now, I've been forgiven by my wife, but I put some super major hurt on her at the time by choices that I made. And, you know, that's a perfect illustration of how I failed in letting something that was enjoyable and fun become a greater... I'm responsible for my team. I signed up for this team. I can't let them down. Well, what about the team you're letting down at home, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like there's a factor in there of your intention. You know, if your intention is to set an example, you know, by being a leader of your peers on your softball team and showing what good sportsmanship is and teaching your children about commitment, that you made a commitment to the team, and so you're going to fulfill that. You're not going to let them down. Of course, the corollary to that is you can't let the home team down either.
Right.
So you got to be able to do both, and showing, you know, working hard and practice and whatnot. The practice makes perfect, and you know all the lessons we try to teach them. Maybe if you use that as a model of proper behavior and whatnot, then I can see where that could be different, have a different effect on your family than I'm chasing the stats because I'm chasing the stats.
Well, you're right there. And my playing softball during that time was not necessarily wrong.
Right.
It's that when I had an opportunity and... it was a very special opportunity. I'll be open what it was. I played softball on my anniversary one time.
Mm.
Now, my wife has sacrificed, and she's been at every game all summer long and watching the kids while I play. And then it just so happened that our anniversary fell on the night of the week that we played softball. And it was at a time when she was tired, and I needed to be paying attention to her needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more focused on my selfishness. Now, the reason I played softball, it was our church team. I was the pastor. It was the ways I could connect with those men.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a greater responsibility for this woman that's sacrificing for me, giving me free babysitting for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And I blew it. And was dumb enough at that point, didn't even know why I blew it.
Ah, yep.
And so, you know, boy, that's just so painful to even talk about for me, because today it's so important that I take care of her heart. And would she have supported me in my playing softball? Was she okay with it? Yeah. But I let it take over things that were more important, and my marriage was much more important than another game.
It's funny how we do that to ourselves, though, because you're still married. Do we still have even have a church softball team?
Well, this wasn't here. This was in Missouri.
Okay, yeah. But still.
Well, we did last year. I don't know if they're playing this year or not, but I've retired.
But that's the thing. We focus on the moment sometimes, and we lose sight of the bigger picture. And I think I'll kind of go back to what I was saying. I think if you can keep both things in perspective, it's okay. But when you let the less consequential thing, in this case the softball team, be the dominating force in your life, that's problematic.
Yes, it is.
And we do that. We do that with all the things. We let, jobs. Jobs are important. We all need them. And we got to have one. But do we put so much focus on that we sacrifice our home life? Yeah, we do that all the time, but should we? No. And then, is that even the purpose we're really supposed to have?
Yeah. Well, I know a young man that I greatly respect, and if he listens to this, he'll know I'm talking about him. But he gets up every morning, 3 a.m., and goes to work early so he can be home by 4 o'clock. And he takes off every Friday and Saturday, and that is his family time. Now, he may be at the house working on a project, building something for his wife or things like that, but he is home and he is present. Now, he sacrifices a lot of sleep, and any time, and I mean, he's very active in our church, so that means when Awana is in session, that means he's getting home at 8:30 or 9, and he's up at 3.
Yep.
And but he does that, and when his boss says, "Hey man, I really need you to do this," he says, "You know what? Friday's my day off. That's my family day." And he's drawn that line in the sand. And there have been some extreme situations where he meets his boss, but his boss knows in general that his family is his priority, and he's stood firm on that for years now. And I greatly admire him for that.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
Because you know what? A boss that's trying to make money for the company and is worried about the bottom line is going to push you. Say, well, you can get overtime this week, you know, or we really need this out by Monday. Well, you know what? There might be one or two times a year that's true, but in general...
Well, and I think, and good leaders should this is probably veering off topic, but good leaders should recognize that if your employees are happy and satisfied, that they'll stay longer, you won't have to replace them, et cetera. I've heard it said before, if you think we can't afford giving somebody a promotion, give it to them. Because we definitely can't afford to replace them.
And this man does something that is highly technical, very few people can do. And he's been doing it for a lot of years now. So he's got a huge level of expertise.
Yeah.
And that's valuable. But you know what? He proved himself. He busted his tail.
Yep.
And when he's at work, he works.
Yeah.
And so it's really a neat thing. Well, bottom line, in our Loving Our Men series, we said a man needs responsibility. Mm-hmm. I've already mentioned Noah, but you take any of the great men of the faith in the Bible, that you look at Moses, great leader. You look at David, was a mighty king. You look at Daniel, who was a slave, but rose to power. You look at Joseph, who was sold as a slave by his brothers, ended up in jail again or something, falsely accused. But what did he do? He worked his tail off. He assumed the responsibility that was given to him in every setting, and God rewarded that greatly. And Joseph saved his whole family, even the brothers that sold him into slavery, ultimately from starving to death.
Right.
You know, all those stories, there's a man that was responsible. Mm-hmm. And he did what he was supposed to do. He had discipline, he had character, and he assumed the role that God gave him, even though it wasn't necessarily a pleasant role. And he was greatly rewarded for that. And so we were too.
So you had a list of things every man needs of men, and that kind of went around this idea of purpose and responsibility. And it started that every man desires to be strong and respected, and so needs to have that feeling that he is strong and respected, I guess, if we're going by needs.
And I guess when you apply that to responsibility, how do you prove that you're strong and to be respected? Well, when you assume the responsibility that comes your way, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. We have a co-op of homeschool parents that are here during the wintertime, school year,
mm-hmm.
and they meet here on Thursdays, okay? And there's a young man in that group. There's several young men that fit this description, but there's one in particular that it was a snowy day, and I can count on this to be true, that when it's a snowy day and I'm out there shoveling snow, he will not be asked, but he'll be looking for a shovel to help me.
Yep.
Now, he's not an old kid. I mean, when this first started happening, he was probably 10 years old, but he would assume that responsibility because he saw a need, and he saw, so he joined me in doing that with not me asking for anything. And while his buddies are playing.
Yeah.
But he's out there with a shovel helping me. So
it shows an uncommon level of maturity.
Okay, and that's what we call it. And what did he do by taking that responsibility and showing that maturity? He proved that he had an inner strength of character,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me respect him. So we all have that deep down desire to be respected and to be looked at as being strong. And so it's the ticket, man.
Yeah.
Taking responsibility is the ticket to that.
Yeah, I've heard a few variations on this, that like the thing a man fears most is not being dangerous, basically. And I think that goes right along with this, that and I think it happens naturally as one gets older, especially hitting a certain age and a certain, I'm not sure, there's not a number to that age. It's different for everyone, but there reaches a time in a man's life when he is perceived by everyone, basically, as no longer being a dangerous man. And I've seen that. I've seen it happen in my own household where, and my wife comes home from the hospital, and I'll hear her say something that makes me cringe every time she says it, but I know she means it well. She says, "I worked with the cutest little old man this weekend, and I think to myself, he would hate to hear you say that."
Yeah.
Because he's not dangerous anymore. And we like that. Us men, we like that. To whatever degree we might want to admit to it, we like that. We like knowing that, yeah, there's a little danger over here.
Yeah.
There's a little motorcycle riding, leather jacket wearing fella inside of each one of us to one degree or another. But, and then strong, you know, like that's something I'm working on right now is being physically stronger and improving my capabilities physically. And the program I'm following right now, the guy who developed it has a podcast that I listen to, and it's one of his things is being physically strong makes everything else in your life better. every single thing. You sleep better. You move through the day better. You stay awake better. You feel better. You think better. You can do every single thing better. And I'm noticing it. I'm not there yet. I have not arrived by any stretch. But I notice it. You know, the heavier the bar gets every week, the better I feel.
Yeah.
Might take me a day or two, but the better I feel.
The soreness is worth it. Yeah. So the first thing was that we talked about being strong and respected. The second thing, and by the way, this was all in the context of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul was challenging Timothy to be that man and then to give that to other men. But he said every man, we talked about every man needs relationships that matter. Now, part of that was me adding to what we have been teaching the Sunday prior to. You know, we talked about respect and relationships. But yet, there again, the verse of Scripture here, Paul wrote, "And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So he is saying, Timothy, I'm giving you a responsibility to be responsible, to teach, but you're to teach men who will also be responsible. Mm-hmm. And Paul, by doing that, Jesus, by doing that with the 12 disciples, was setting in motion the movement today that we call Christianity. Now, Christianity today has a lot of issues because of the dilution of it from what Jesus said it should be. But for those that have heard the gospel and had their life transformed by the grace of God, we owe that to the process that Jesus started when he invested in the 12, and when men like Timothy continued it on to the generations after him. And so what's it going to look like in 100 years from now? Well, as we assume the responsibility to have relationships that matter. And here's what I mean by that. Kyle, I hope that mine and your relationships makes you a better husband. And your relationship with me makes me a better husband, a better pastor. Mm-hmm. I hope it makes you a better man at work as you assume those responsibilities. So it is so important that we understand men need relationships that matter. And relationships are matter is when we make each other better.
As opposed to superficial relationships, particularly, and I think superficial relationships are more the norm these days than the exception. Look no further than social media, and how many, which I heard this the other day that put things in a different context for me, but how many followers do you have? And then they twisted it around a little bit, what I was listening, and I don't even remember where I was hearing it, but they twisted around and said, are you one of those followers? Is that who you want to be in life? Mm-hmm. Are you a follower of unimportant people in your life? And is that a relationship that matters? It's not a relationship that matters. Why are you doing it? Why are you just being a follower, not a thinker, not a leader?
Absolutely. And we can go back. I picked on the softball player earlier. Mm-hmm. But let's have that straw man back for just a second. Okay, you got the softball player that's out there because he's building a relationship with other men, with other people, so that he can influence them. And what does a man do when he's called out unfairly or he gets hurt? Does he yell and scream and cuss, or does he take it like a man? And just make it motivating to be better. Okay, he's making an impact. Then there's that other guy that says, well, you cost me my stat.
Yep.
You know, I didn't score a run tonight because you didn't hit the ball, or I lost the game as pitcher because you made an error. You know, and one guy is taking his opportunities and using it to build relationships mm-hmm. and to invest in character in other men, while another guy, it's all about him and the selfishness.
Well, this reminds me of Jocko Willink's speech, Good. You lost your job. Good. Now you have an opportunity to improve yourself, to level up, to get a fresh start. You missed the clinch play in the softball game. Good. You guys weren't ready to go to the playoffs anyway. You would have lost there. Now you get to start fresh, getting ready for the next season. You know, if we look at things with the reaction of good, whatever it is, whatever is going on, and we say good.
And the context of that whole thing is, I'm in this with other people. I'm building relationships
That's right.
with them. And my ultimate goal is to invest in others so that they'll be better. And that's really cool. The third one is every man needs to be challenged. And, you know, there's just three points that I made under that and those verses mm-hmm. that follow. A challenge requires focus. Mm-hmm. A challenge requires discipline. Paul told Timothy, he said, a man that is an athlete trains because he wants to win the prize. And so the challenge requires that you be disciplined in that, that you have a focus on what the purpose of that event is. And then the third one was a challenge involves reward.
Well, I want to go back to that for a second, too, and I think it all ties together. I know it all ties together. But not even the athlete, the spouse, the challenge of our being married. Now, I know for you and me, that challenge is small. Because we did so well.
Outdid ourselves.
Married
That's right.
better. That's Married right. up. but that requires focus, and it requires training. You got to practice, and you swing and you miss every now and then, sometimes a lot, and you gotta figure it out. You know, I'm trying to figure out a good batting cage analogy to being married. That's probably not gonna work out
well,
for me.
Well, the fact is, but you do have to be disciplined,
you have to be disciplined.
And what is discipline? Discipline is me limiting my own desires to have to accomplish something that my selfish weakness will defeat. And
to stay focused.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got so many distractions.
If you're going to build the muscle that you're talking about building to make your body better so you can be a better overall man in all that you do,
yep.
then you're going to have to sacrifice sitting and watching the short videos.
Yep.
You're going to have to.
I'm feeling that one a little bit too hard. I fall into that trap a lot.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people do.
And you've sat there all of a sudden. It's been 30 minutes.
Where did it go?
And what
more could you have done with that time?
Yeah.
Like anything. Anything would have been better.
Pretty well.
Yeah. I could have been down under the bar pushing some weight around.
Yeah.
I could have been talking to my wife. I could have been cleaning out the gutters, which is a thing I need to do when I get home.
I could have been praying.
I
could have been in the Word, letting God build my spirit.
I mean, let's face it. Really, when it comes to doom scrolling on YouTube or whatever it is that you've got, watching the paint dry is more productive, most likely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we miss our opportunities, and I know I'm guilty of this. And then I wonder, why don't I do that more?
Yeah.
And I let the world come into my life and interfere with those things.
We've talked about the Conquer series a lot last fall because
yep.
we were in it,
yep.
doing it. But one of the challenges that we were given in that was to turn off any social media, turn off your phone 30 minutes before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It improves your sleep and it cuts down on inappropriate dreams and all that kind of stuff, okay? Well, so I've started doing that at night where maybe not 30 minutes before, but if I check my phone before I go to bed, it's usually just to make sure that the alarm's set, okay? And I've replaced that with reading my Bible.
Yep.
And letting that be the last thing I do before I close my eyes, before I kiss Deb goodnight, okay? And when I do that, I've already got a head start on the next day, because what I'm reading usually is what I'm going to be reading the next morning for my soap time.
There you go.
And so that has been such a blessing. And it leaves you in so much better place to do that. Well, that is a discipline where I'm saying no to something that's not fruitful, and I'm saying yes to something that is productive and fruitful and building for my intended goal.
And it is so, it takes discipline, and because it's so easy to fall down that trap. And the result of that focus and that discipline is a reward that we get, which was your third subpoint there, that a challenge involves reward. And man, that reward can be a good marriage that lasts till the day you die.
Yeah, and I tell you what, going home to a woman that when you walk through the door, she smiles because you're home. Whew, that's wonderful. And I know there's many a man that doesn't go home because he knows he's not going to get that, making the problem worse.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But when he gets home, he doesn't know what to do about it.
I think, and I'll throw this in there, a slight rabbit hole. I think the answer to that problem is to shoulder that burden and not say, I'm not going home because my wife is disappointed in seeing me, but to say, my wife is disappointed in seeing me when I come home, and that's my fault, and I need to fix that. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, if you shoulder that burden, whether you believe it is actually yours or not, first of all, it takes two to tango, so it is. But if you shoulder that burden, it will get better.
That's what true leadership is.
Yeah.
True leadership says, I'm going to be first, and I am going to sacrifice myself for the better good, the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to fix, if nothing else, if you have trouble, I think, if someone has trouble contemplating that, or confessing to that, it does take two to tango. Fix your part.
And
start
the,
there.
The good news is this for that man we're trying to encourage right now.
Yeah.
When you fix your part, most women, there's exceptions, most women want to respond to their man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might not do it the first day, they might not do it the first week or even the first month, but when we make a genuine change, and your wife can begin to believe that there's really a change, they will begin to respond to that.
Well, and I think that is a huge part of a husband's responsibility, is to, I'm gonna swing wide on this one and say it, a huge part of a husband's responsibility is to establish the tone of the marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
And thus the whole family. And if we're jerks and we're dictatorial sons of guns, then our family is going to take on that tone and act accordingly.
Yeah. I'm sitting over here nodding.
I know. Yeah.
You know.
The rattling is, no. But yeah, no, that is our job. We set the tone for the house.
Okay, let's just walk down a list here real quick. If I want my house to be full of skeptics, be a skeptic. If you want your house to be full of people that cherish each other, you set the tone.
You gotta cherish first. Them.
If you want your house to be courteous, you be courteous first. If you want your house to be selfless servants, be a selfless servant.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you want your wife to greet you with a smile, you greet her with a smile. If you want your children to embrace you, you get down on one knee and you embrace them. It's all about, if you want your family to be disconnected, you be disconnected.
And, absolutely.
You know? What,
the old song, Cats in the Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, my son always said he wanted to grow up just like me, and one day I realized
he was just like
me. He grew up just like me.
Yeah.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, that's our job.
Well, that leads us to the fourth point.
Yep.
Which was every man needs priorities. Excuse me, every man needs purpose.
Yeah, the fifth point. Yeah.
And right.
No, purpose. Purpose, fourth point.
The first one. And then I asked this simple question. This was the whole point.
Yep.
Do I know why I do what I do?
Well, and I think that was what kind of what I was trying to get to with your softball story. Mm-hmm. And I put myself in that scenario too. And it's happening right this minute for me, or you know, as in this stage in my life. I'm very involved in scouting. And why? Why am I doing that? And I have to keep my, I have to remind myself regularly that I have multiple reasons why I'm there. I have multiple goals. And I have to make sure that none of them are me. Mm-hmm. That if my goal is to provide a place for my children and other young people to have the great experiences that I had growing up and to learn valuable life skills and make, even if it's a tiny little fraction of a positive impact on their lives, that's part of my purpose there. Mm-hmm. It's not my only purpose there. I have another purpose, and that's actually away from my children a little bit. And that's to have a more positive, religiously based impact on what's turning into most of the state of Colorado right now, which is daunting, to say the least. But, you know, to have that... But that allows me also to hopefully set a good example for my kids too. And
sure. And you know, Kyle, let me just comment on this because this is a huge, huge issue for Christians. Christians, if they love the Lord, they want to become servants. They want to make a difference. And there are all kinds of issues that are present that we get inundated with. As Christians, I mean, I'm called upon to do things as a pastor, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pro-life to the bone, okay?
Yep.
And there is a cause to fight for the lives of unborn babies, okay? I have no problem taking that stand and doing what I can do. I very much admire the fact that you are trying to be a spiritual leader and exalt Christ in the scouting world. And Lord knows that's important. But if that ever becomes more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ and ultimately leading men to Christ, in other words, well, I'm there just to develop character. That's important.
It is important.
But it can replace the most important thing, which is a knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people that get lost in the pro-life movement and they don't tell anybody about Jesus anymore. And they've been distracted by the enemy with something that's important, but yep. It's not the most important thing because we're not going to change anything if people don't discover a relationship with Jesus.
I think we're touching on point number five.
Absolutely. Every man needs priorities.
Yeah.
And
what is, I'm going to ask this knowing I believe that you just answered it. What is our number one priority?
Well, the first point that I made was seek the approval of the Lord first. Are my priorities God's priorities?
There you go. I like that.
And because, listen, God made John Smith a 5'6" man, okay? I don't know what you are, but you're at least 6'3", 6'4".
I'm actually about 6'2"-ish.
Okay. And so God made you in a different size and shape. You're a different age. You have different capabilities or gifts when it comes to what you bring to the workforce. I mean, it's not about IQ. It's about... the gifts that God gave you and how you use them, and the gifts God gave me and how he wants to use them. And so when I discover God's priorities and join Him in His work, it's amazing how he finds that niche that I can fill.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. he'll do the same thing with that niche that you can fill.
I had occasion to just totally butcher a philosophy, I'm sure, but to share something with someone that was essentially that God gives us challenges that we are capable of handling.
Well, that he's capable of handling through us.
Right, yeah.
No, I made that statement. God will never ask you to do something that he's not willing to give you the resources to do.
I like that. I do like that.
Because if we're doing what he wants us to do, he will provide.
Yeah.
And those resources might be the right answer at the right moment. It might be just a merciful attitude. It might be the financial needs that we have to accomplish it. But God provides the resources when we are obedient to him. Fun story. There was a man that told a story about he walked in this shop one day and encountered a man behind the shop. And the guy, somehow or another, they got a conversation started about God. And this guy was belligerent and argumentative. And, you know, he tried to care about him, but it just... It felt like a complete failure. And when he left there, he left with his head down. A year later, this person walked up to him and said, "I know you." And he said, "We've never met." And they said, "No, we haven't. But one day I was in a store, and I saw you trying to care about another man, and he just ripped you. And all you did was tell him about the love of Jesus Christ. And that day, I discovered the love of Jesus Christ in my heart, and I accepted Christ. And I wanted you to know that what you did, and you didn't even know I was in the room and listening, was the difference in my walk and understanding of God."
And we never know who's going to be around, who's going to see us, who's going to be on the other side of the aisle at
So the guy was Walmart taking his responsibility to share the love of Christ.
Yep.
And he thought he was unfruitful.
Well, isn't that really our number one, shouldn't that really be our number one priority all the time?
Yeah, it's to love people.
Well, and to share the word.
Well, and the way to share the word, I mean, I grew up saying, well, you need to memorize this plan and you need to make sure you get through that every time you talk to somebody about God. And no. Jesus said and I mentioned this often in my sermons, the number one commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second one is you love your neighbor. Now, ultimately, our neighbor needs to hear about Jesus dying on the cross. But before they can hear that, they need to see that there's something different about the way we love.
Yep.
And we accept them, that we're not treating them as a notch in our gun belt because we just let another one to Jesus, you know?
Right.
But it is about the fact we care about them as human beings. And when we do that, then that's compelling. That's what the love of Christ does, is it compels people.
Yeah, I don't think people get converted by bumper stickers or being beat over the head with a Bible.
No.
And if we just count on those kinds of things, we get nowhere. But if we lead the life, and I've actually been asked this once before, and mind you, it was by someone who was probably rather inebriated at the time, and just in a bad way in life, said, you seem to have things together. What are you doing? Now, at the time, I don't think I did, looking back. But I guess, relatively speaking, you know, to where this young man was at in his life, I suppose I did. I did have my life, my act together better than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking, you know, he was looking up to me at that time in that regard. And, you know, for other people, the rest of society should be able to look at us as Christians and say, "I want to be like them when I grow up."
Amen. That's exactly right.
But we don't hear that often from society. We hear, well, the rate of divorce is higher. Yeah. Or who knows what, you know, the validity to some of these statistics,
well,
too.
Well, they talk about Christians being hypocrites.
And yeah. And
one way on Sunday and another way during the week.
Yep.
And that's true way too often.
Yeah. That is the problem.
Yeah.
Is how true that can be.
Yeah.
And so, I think the more effective way to exercise our responsibility is to show the right example, lead by example.
We love people, and there's a lot of ways that we can love people. We can love people by serving them. We can love people by encouraging them.
Mm-hmm.
We can love people by smiling. We can love people by saying the right word at the right time. I mean, there's times I can love you by saying something hard to you. I had an encounter with a person today, and I had to say something hard to them. I didn't want to say it.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to talk about this. You need to talk. And I was like, I don't want to. But then I obeyed, and I kept trying to find the right way to do it. And the response was sweet and tender. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Well, people, we as humans, and I think especially as men, again, we struggle with finding purpose. And sometimes we need that, we desire that truth. And truth isn't always nice.
No.
Truth isn't always
what you want to hear.
Yeah, it's not always what I want to hear. It's just the truth. And the truth of the matter might be that I'm messing up my life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I need to know that because, you know, otherwise, if nobody ever tells me, if I never realize that what I'm doing is wrong, I'm going to keep on doing it.
Yeah. You know, this whole, this section that we're talking about right now, this last point, is about priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you asked a while ago, what is our main priority? Well, it's to love the Lord and to love people. But how does that practically work out? All these different scenarios that we've given. And it works out this way. When I was born again, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. So God lives in me. And as I learned to listen to Him, then I learned to do or say or be to that person what I need to be in that moment. There was that situation today I was talking about. And then when I was in college one night, we went down to the fair, and our whole purpose for being there was just to stop and talk to people about Jesus. And I don't remember anybody I talked to that night except for one guy. And I was talking to him. I engaged him in conversation for a few minutes, and then he found out why I was there. And as I was sharing the gospel with him, he let me ask him for permission, and he wanted to hear about it. Finally, he just interrupted me. And he said, I got to go. He said, my mama has been praying for me.
Hmm.
And my mama is sick and dying of cancer.
Hmm.
And he said, it is time for me to get right with God. Thank you for stopping me tonight. And that man ran to his car.
Nice.
And I've never seen him again. Don't remember his name.
Nope.
But the point is this, at that moment, I was telling a total stranger about Jesus. And that's all he needed, because the Holy Spirit was already working on his heart and his mama was praying. But next time, it might be that I need to change a tire for somebody. It might be that I need to, who knows? But as I'm listening to the Spirit of God, what is my priority? To please God, to love Him, to obey Him, to love other people. Okay, now the Holy Spirit is our guide to direct that the right way at the right time to the right people.
Mm.
And that is so powerful.
It is. It always amazes me when I show up somewhere and I think, I have no idea what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. Like, I've been preparing for this. I'm preparing right now for tomorrow night. And I'm trying to put together the thoughts. And when I get there and I have my speech that I'm going to be giving, I may not say it exactly word for word. I very rarely do. And it's possible. I hope and pray, quite literally, that something new washes in there and says, you should just tweak this a little bit. And sometimes I walk away going, what did I just say? Did I just say all that? No, I didn't. The words came out of my mouth, but...
For a man that's humbly submitted to the Lord and trying to be faithful, God's going to provide. Now, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to study and prepare.
Right, right.
And I'm not saying that, and I spend hours every week getting ready, but listen, when it comes to Sunday morning, it's about sharing the heart that God's given me and what God is doing in my life with our people. That's what it's about, bro.
To take a little bit of a detour, perhaps, I had that conversation of preparation with my son the other day, and I thought, man, I can really see how someone could get caught up in the idea that we don't need to prepare, that we don't need to, like, God will give us what we need. And I believe that that is true, but I think I got to do my part. I can't just sit here and let life happen to me. Because if I sit around, if I'm not an active participant in my own life, nothing good's going to happen.
Yeah. There were two points I made under priorities that are pertinent right now. One of them was, the main things must be the main things, and we should be. The second one was, integrity is a must.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Integrity says, I am what I'm talking about. What you see is what you get, and that's real. And part of the preparation, I mean, yes, I need to know what this verse of Scripture says. I need to know what verses of Scripture God wants me to talk about on Sunday. But it's not real to people. It doesn't impact people's lives unless it is coming from a heart that's experienced it and the practicality of physically experiencing it. I had a professor that changed my life, and I may have said this before. He said, gentlemen, if you preach from your head, you will connect with people's heads. If you preach from your heart, you will touch people's hearts and their heads. But if you preach from your life, you'll see God change lives.
Hmm.
Wow. You know, so what's that old saying? Practice what you preach.
Preach
what you've practiced might be a better statement.
I think both are very valid.
So the last thing about priorities is the answer to our question at the beginning. What unexpected value comes to our society when I take responsibility, when you take responsibility? Well, as Paul closed out chapter 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, when he closed that out, he challenged us to be peacemakers. And when I take responsibility not only for myself, but I take responsibility to love other people, when I take responsibility to be involved in the lives of other people, then I get to be a part of the role of a peacemaker. And you made the statement when we asked that question in the beginning, how much this world could be changed if men would take responsibility. And, you know, we live in a world, I had a man talk to me about this morning, that's, you know, I put up a picture the other Sunday when I was talking about relationships, and it said, live, laugh, and leave me alone.
Yep.
And he said, boy, you hit me between the eyes with that. Because he said, I was like, live your life, man. Enjoy your life. Laugh. I'll laugh with you. But leave me alone.
Yeah.
And God calls us as believers to engage.
Yeah.
To engage our wives, to engage our children, to engage our church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. To engage
everyone we come in contact with.
That's right. To engage them as we can. Some people will not let you engage.
Well, and again, sometimes that's just the example that we set.
That's right.
Just the impact of being there, not beating them over the head with a Bible, but being that good influence and them coming to us and saying, man, you got your stuff together.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you how I did that.
Yeah. Or you genuinely care about me because you ask about something.
Yeah.
You notice, you remembered that my grandson's having surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And really, I think there are some people who are blessed with amazing memories. I am not one of those. But I think the way that you genuinely can remember that and bring those up is that you actually care about that person.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something I didn't talk about in my sermon. I won't close with this today.
All right.
There is a story, there's a passage. It's in the book of 2 Samuel. Let me look it up real quick. But in 2 Samuel, it talks about David's mighty men.
Yes.
And there's a man in chapter 23. His name is Shammah.
Okay.
And the Bible says that Shammah took his stand in a field of lentils. Now, I'm from the South. We didn't call them lentils in the South. We called them peas.
Yep, right.
And so I've heard a few sermons over the years. Are you defending your pea patch?
Okay.
And his pea patch, his lentil patch, was his area of responsibility. And he stood there like a man. And he did what God called him to do. And there was a great victory wrought that day. And his name made it in the Bible because he was faithful over a pea patch.
Yeah.
Is that not powerful?
That is pretty good.
And so today, God help me to be faithful for whatever you want me to do.
Whatever your pea patch is.
Whatever it is and whatever you want me to do in it.
Right.
I mean, Kyle was my pea patch, okay?
That's right. Yeah.
And so let me be faithful today. Whatever I have opportunity to impact as a man of responsibility.
Well, and at a minimum, it is our homes are our pea patch.
Absolutely. That's the first one.
Yeah. And I think we probably do have multiples. We have all the people we come into contact with work.
Your place of work.
You said something as we close things up here, too. You said something that struck me of we don't know what it'll be like in 100, what society will be like in 100 years, et cetera. And the thought crossed my mind that we are currently shaping right this minute what society will look like in 100 years. Just like our society right now was shaped by the actions of our ancestors 100 years ago, and obviously more. But you know, we talk about faith and the decline of it. You know that during the founding of our country, 9 out of the 13 colonies, original states, had religious tests to be representatives in the government. And they had established religions for, which people get all uppity about, that that's against the Constitution. No, it's not. But, but you know, that it was so fundamental to our society that it was expected that you would have a church that you would go to and be a part of. Otherwise, I'm not sure we want you to be our state legislator or what have you.
Yeah.
And we've gone the opposite direction, or we're at the opposite side of that pendulum now. And I think it's up to us to start pushing the pendulum back the other way. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we need to go that far again, all the way back to that. Maybe we do. Wouldn't hurt. But closer to that than where we're at these days. And that is up to us. That's part of our purpose.
That's exactly right.
That's one of our responsibilities, I think.
So next week, this coming Sunday, you know, when you take on responsibility, inevitably, you're going to get tired. And so this next sermon is about how a man needs renewal.
All right.
And so I'm looking forward to this and just exploring again. We're going to name some of the same names of men in Scripture and what they did and how they had renewal and how they got it. And so if you're needing something fresh, come on out to church Sunday and we'll try and give you a drink of water.
There you go. Sounds great. It's possibly going to be a hot one. We might need that.
There you go, bro.
We might need that refreshment.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I'll look forward to hearing the sermon next Sunday.
God bless you, bro.